Space pterodactyls.
Space pterodactyls?
Because you said Jurassic Universe, so damn, you said it would evolve.
Space, space pterodactyls. That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah.
You're listening to Nothing Important. Please enjoy the show.
We're good to go. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I apologize. I literally had a client walk out of the studio as the phone was ringing.
We're cursed, I'm telling you.
Right, right. Because if you go through it, right? Like, Mike, I think we've rescheduled like 5 times over the course of 4.5 weeks. And then tonight, we had to reschedule for another half an hour. Because Dave was in the studio with a client, and I'm like, screw this, I can go solo. So I tried to set up like a makeshift studio in my house, and it just was not happening, dude.
Yeah, now after all these reschedules, I better have something really good to say.
Hell, we better have something good to say.
Oh, right? No shit.
Really, I gotta entertain you guys after all that.
Oh, well, and you know what the best part is? I got a dog running around here that's all amped up. I got a 4-year-old daughter that just has school tomorrow and is refusing to go to bed. So this could be an absolute calamity. So,
yeah, my dogs are, they just got back to, and they're running around crazy too. And, maybe I shouldn't even do it, but my female dog keeps trying to hump me, and I'm like, really, stop.
What kind of dogs you got?
I have 2 Labradoodles, and they're normally pretty well behaved, but Lily is just out of it tonight. She's going crazy.
Oh, my God. We have this French bulldog that's the most, Dave, you met it. It's like,
met it, have I? Yes.
Yes, right. It's like, aggressively friendly, right? Like, it just wants to, like, jump on you and play with you. You can't get it away. If you pay any sort of attention whatsoever, it will not leave you alone.
And it has a motor that just will not quit. Like, even if you get it, like, all right, cool. Just if you would sit here for 30 seconds like this, we'd be fine. And then it just starts shaking and getting all twitchy again. It's, yeah. Hate that dog.
They're too cute to get mad at them, though, so.
Well, I guess now that we're recording, welcome to the Nothing Important podcast. You're on the Someone Important hotline. So, Mike, we're talking with Michael Nardelli, an actor, producer, all-around good guy, and I got to be honest with you are a handsome, handsome man, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm looking at your IMDb picture, and I'm like, man, this dude, like, because I'm already not, like, an attractive dude. And then I see your picture, and I'm like, wow, I'm even less of an attractive dude than I ever thought I was before.
Well, you know, in person I actually have, you know, lots of boils and saggy skin and, you know, Sundance. That's all good lighting and good photographer.
Right. So
anybody can look good with the right photographer, I guess.
I don't know, man. I'm there's a reason there's no, like, class pictures of me, you know? So
Dave's remaining oddly silent during this conversation.
Yeah. I'm looking over your IMDb, and man, you have been in so many things, dude. Like, all over the place. When was your first acting experience? Tell me a little bit about that.
First, like on camera professional, or just kind of like first?
Like what was the, like, what gave you the acting bug? And then I'd like to hear about, like, your first professional acting experience, because we've had a lot of actors that I've never got to ask them about, you know, like, their first time when, like, okay, this is legit. Like, this is my first time, like, being, like, a professional and making a living of this. And I'm just kind of interested, like, about the mindset and, like, what goes through your head.
Yeah, well, I just grew up loving movies and TV and storytelling and all that stuff, because I moved around a lot when I was young. Every couple of years, it seemed like we were moving. And it was usually really, like, small, tiny towns where there's nothing to do. So, you know, I loved storytelling and movies and all that stuff. And then you know, I kind of grew up in the age where you had, I mean, not like you do today, but we, you know, started having, you know, video cameras that could actually, you know, that a 10-year-old or 12-year-old could actually carry around and film stuff on. They weren't like those giant ones you had to carry on your shoulders and have like a battery pack attached to it and all that.
Right. It wasn't like carrying around a suitcase on your shoulder.
I just started making movies with my friends when I was young, and I pretty much, it's weird. Like, I mean, the context is different, and you know, the stakes and everything are a little bit different, but it's kind of the same thing I'm doing now. It was, you know, we just get my friends together and we would write something, and I would either direct it and act in it and then edit it with, you know, I started off just editing movies with two different VCRs, you know, so you would record, that's how I would edit the movies, record on one while the other one was playing. It was so tedious, and the cuts were just, like, ridiculous, and the timing was always off. But, you know, we got it done, and then I started, you know, making this for class. Like, I'd ask my teachers, can I not write a paper? Can I just write a script and, like, film a movie about, you know, the Civil War or whatever it was that we were studying at any given moment? And, you know, the nice teachers would let me do that, which was awesome. And that was kind of how it started, really. And then I did, you know, high school theater and then, you know, junior high theater and all that stuff. And that's it. That's all I ever wanted to do, was just act and tell stories and produce stories and direct them. And, you know, I eventually, you know, also knew I only wanted to go to L.A. or New York for college. So I went to USC and studied film and theater, and then there you go. And that first on-screen thing I did, I think it was Quintuplets, this show with Andy Richter.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I remember that. That was like on, was that on Fox? I want to say that was on Fox.
Yeah, I think it was on Fox, and it was like Ron Howard producing it. So I was like, oh, cool, I hit the big time.
Right, yeah.
And it was cool. We played, like, I was part of, like, the, how would you call them, Bizarro Universe, evil doppelganger quintuplet family of, like, these all blonde, bratty quintuplets that were, like, competing with the main characters for a commercial where they were going to win, like, a minivan or something. So, it was funny. It was really funny. And that was my first thing I ever did, like, I don't know how many years ago now. 10, 12.
I particularly like the part about the bouncing back and forth between VCRs, because as an audio engineer, I'm thinking of my first time when Brian and I had a band together. I don't even think he's ever heard the tape, but I just got some friends together and I would sit there with two cassette tapes and like record two tracks and then add a track and back and forth. And then when you start doing it for real,
I got it done, right? I mean, now we have like Final Cut and all that stuff. And, you know, that knows what kids growing up today are going to be able to produce by the time they're, you know, like in their 20s or 30s, because they're just so used to having.
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous.
But, hey, two VCRs got it done, you know?
Right, yeah. Back in our day, you had to want it, man. You had to do it.
Well, you had to be, you know? You had to be creative and think outside the box a little bit.
Right, you know?
That red record button.
Right, you know, it's very much like porn, if you think about it, because, like, back in our day, you had to, like, find porn in the woods
your dad's toolbox, what kind of house did you grow up in?
Right, and in the woods. Why? It's called found porn. Look it up. It's a real thing, you know? Like, you know, you're like...
That much shame about it that they were, like, hiding it in the woods.
Yes, absolutely.
Through your search history, and you're all fine. You're all good.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody has it so easy now because it's just right on the computer and for free. So whenever anybody brings back old school stuff, it's like, and like Dave said about like the tapes. Like, remember when you had to record on like a cassette tape and you put like a piece of like scotch tape over the little square hole?
The copyright protection thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Like, so I...
Yeah, you had to switch that thing. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you used, like, a pencil to, like, rewind it and such. So that's why I think the question about, like, how did you know and how to get started, like, because it seems to me, like, if you were going through that much trouble, it was obviously something that you had a passion for and something that you knew that you really wanted to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to say I suffered from my art using two VCRs, but, you know, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's more creative back then. You didn't have, like, Final Cut, which makes it easy to do, you know, effects and editing and all that stuff. It was definitely a lot more lo-fi back in my day. Yep, I just said back in my day.
I know, it makes you feel so old, right?
I've been a lot lately, though, so I must have crossed, I think I crossed the old threshold at some point in the last couple of months.
I think I crossed the old threshold when, because I have two children. I think we're relatively the same age, but I think I felt old when I had a daughter and she's better at using an iPad than I am. Like, she knows how to, like, open it up and, like, put in the passcode and take pictures, and she's only, like, 4 years old.
Yeah. And I have, like a intuition with that stuff, because I have a nephew who knew how to use that at, like, age two, and I don't know how he did it, because, you know, it took me weeks to learn how to use that thing.
Right. I still have trouble taking a picture half the goddamn time. So you're also a producer, and this is something else I want to ask too. Like, can you explain for me what exactly a producer for does?
Yeah, it's kind of like a weird, mysterious, ephemeral thing, right? Because there's like so many different kinds of producers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, the kind that I consider myself is like more of a creative producer. Finding stories that I think are really cool that I'd want to watch, or, you know, writing stories and then producing them that I think would be good. Basically like kind of finding material that I like for myself as an actor, or that I think is just a cool story that I'd want to tell, or, you know, something that I could work on with my friends and, you know, make ourselves and try to sell, you know, or whatever, you know, means we go about doing it. But, producers can be different things. Like, some producers are more just kind of purely on the finance end, where they're raising funds and financing movies. Some are kind of like, I don't know, they almost feel like kind of like the party planners, where they're, you know, putting different pieces together.
Kind of like the facilitator, you know, or like the general contractor.
Yeah, well, yeah. And then you have like line producers and kind of the physical producers that are great at, you know, getting the vendors on the set and making sure the trailers are where they need to be and making sure that the caterer, you know, kind of more somebody's going to go through the budget and make sure, you know, each line item is where it should be and costing what it needs to cost and, you know, not going over budget. And so there's that kind of producer. There's some that do a little bit of everything. There's some producers that I feel like are there because they bring a lot of talent into a project, mm-hmm. whether through their relationships, personal, or people that they've worked with in the past. So it's kind of like a weird term that can have a lot of right. different meaning.
As Dave and I talk to more and more folks obviously involved in your industries, that, like, I just sit there and think, like, you know, because, like, you watch it on TV or something like that, and everything seems so seamless, right? Like, the scenes are there. But there is so many people, or so many positions and so many jobs that just go into making one scene. So when I see that, you know, you're a writer and an actor and a producer, how do you manage to juggle all that? Because that's another thing I'm intrigued by, because I've made the joke before, like, I have in my real life one job and I can barely keep that straight. And like, if I go on vacation and I come back to my job, it takes me like a good like 4 days just to get back into something I've been doing for 10 years. How do you keep all those hats on? How do you keep juggling those balls in the air?
Well, it's weird. Sometimes I do only have one job. Like when I do like a TV show and I'm just kind of an actor for hire, then I really do only have mm-hmm. one job. And at this point, like, that can feel like a luxury sometimes, because I'm like, oh, I just have to show up and do that, and I don't have to worry about, you know, the other stuff going on. Oh, cool. You know, it's like, you know, it's never easy, but sometimes I do have that feeling where, like, oh, I don't have to worry about anything else, but just acting today, which is cool. But the other stuff, I don't, like I said, it's kind of like I just grew up always kind of just doing that, where, you know, we would write something and act in it and produce it, and more of us would direct it and edit it, and I don't know, it's kind of just always multitasking like that. I have a lot of anxiety, and if I'm not doing something, I usually need to be doing something.
So, right. So,
you know, with acting, you do sometimes go through periods where, you know, you're not auditioning as much, or not working as much, or, you know, you're unhappy about the opportunities that you're given. So I think for me, it was like at a certain point, I was like, okay, I cannot wait around by the phone for someone to call me and, and give me permission to tell a story or create something. So it's driving me nuts. It just, you know, there's nothing that makes you feel more powerless than that. You know, because acting is this weird career where, you know, you can work so hard and kind of never have it go anywhere. It's not like a traditional career where, you know, typically you work hard at something and sort of slowly build your way up and get promoted. Or, you know, like my dad comes from the corporate world and it's very much like that, work hard and kind of, you know, you're at least going to rise up a little bit over time. But with acting, it's like the wild, wild west. So I don't know. I guess I just, you know, needed to fill my time doing something creative. And like I said, all I ever wanted to do was have movies and TV and storytelling. So.
Well, that's good. I think that's what.
Damn it.
Right. I think that's what separates a lot of like successful people from people who just kind of skirt by, is like, you know, the drive just to keep moving and keep things happening and keep things working and not being complacent. And you have so many different, so many different projects and titles under your belt. Like, that's kind of what I got from you, is that you're not proud, somebody who sits around, because you're still with the Groundlings, right?
Well, I'm done. I went through their whole program and I'm done there now. But yeah, I spent years studying over there and I loved it. And I met some of the coolest, funniest people while I was over there. And I still work with them now. I just finished a short that I actually co-wrote while I was at Groundlings, and we decided to film it, you know. So that's like another case of, you know, just us getting together and being like, okay, well, we're not working right now. Let's make it short and, you know, send it out to some festivals and see what happens. What was the question? Your question was.
No, it's okay. Keep rambling. We don't really see these so much as interviews as we do. We just like to chat with people we find interesting.
That's his way of justifying the fact that we don't write questions before we start talking to people.
Yeah, not at all. We don't write questions. Because
then I would have to think of answers.
Right, you know, like I don't want to be like...
we can wing this. We can do it.
Exactly. Like I've said this before, like I don't want to be like Barbara Walters and just sit there and keep hitting you with questions and questions and questions. But tell me about Circle, man. I see a bunch of reviews and such about Circle and people talking about it. Give us a little insight on that.
Yeah. Circle, where do I begin? It's a psychological thriller. Yeah, we always compare it to, we say that it's like 12 Angry Men with a Twilight Zone twist. So if that makes sense to you, you should have a good idea what the movie is, because it's definitely like a psychological drama, like 12 Angry Men, but then it does have sort of that weird Twilight Zone twist to it that I don't want to reveal all the details of it, you know, now, so you guys can see it and be surprised and be entertained by it. But the basic setup is that it's these 50 people that wake up in this chamber, and they pretty much have amnesia at first. They don't know how they got there or why they're there, and they don't know each other. Some of them kind of think they might have a history, but mostly they're just kind of confused and scared shitless. and they can't move. You find out why pretty quickly. And then every 2 minutes from moment one, it's a real-time thriller. So every 2 minutes from moment one, somebody in the circle gets killed.
So, see, that's,
you know, from there, you know, different rules of the game kind of appear, and they find out that these 50 strangers are voting for themselves. So they're literally choosing who is the next person to go, which, you know, obviously raises the stakes and a lot of social and political and, issues about class and racism and gender and sexuality actually come up, amidst all the chaos and the terror. So it's got some substance to it. It's not just, you know, kind of, cookie cutter thriller.
I know you piqued Dave's interest. When I heard about that, I was like, oh man, this is like right up Dave's alley.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, this is like the kind of movie I want to see. I love movies like Cube, or if you've ever seen
Exam. Yeah,
Exam. Have you seen Exam?
People keep telling me about Exam, and I have not seen it. I love Cube.
It's a kind of tough watch. Exam's kind of a tough watch, but it's very much like Cube. Yeah.
Yeah, I need to watch. It's not sci-fi though, right?
No, no. It's a bunch of people are there for a job interview, and it's more drama based. It's more about human interaction in a stressful situation, I guess you would say.
Yeah, well, that does sound like Circle, because it does. There's an element of it that's very much like a kind of like a psychological test of how people react when they're, you know, in danger or under stress kind of thing.
Yeah, this is something I must. It's on my must watch list now. It's bumping it, Jurassic World again.
Oh, jeez.
I loved it.
You like Jurassic World?
I did love it. I saw it opening night, and I think they did a great job playing on like the nostalgia of it all. It kind of made me feel like a kid again. Mm. You know, I thought they were kind of smart to reference the fact that, like, you know, it's turned into this whole capitalistic consumer thing. You know, because it's like the fourth Jurassic Park movie. Where else are you going to go with it?
Right.
don't listen to episode 26 of the Nothing Important podcast.
Yeah, don't listen to that.
We ripped that movie pretty good for about 15 minutes.
See, my brother didn't like it either. And I don't know if it was just something like I saw it on opening night and everybody was excited to be there. And I actually had pretty low expectations for it. So maybe that was part of it. But I don't know. I thought they did a good job with it, but it sounds like maybe we should just move past this topic if you really hated it that much. But you're like, man, Circle's going to suck if you like that movie.
Well, I am rocking a Jurassic Park t-shirt as we speak, so.
like the when they went back into the old visitor center and they were playing like the old John Williams score that didn't get you.
Yeah, well, you know what the funny thing about that is, and I think I mentioned this before on the podcast, that is the song that my wife walked down the aisle to our wedding at.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we had a dinosaur-themed wedding, and my wife walked down the aisle to Jurassic Park.
Oh, that's amazing. I wish I'd been at that wedding. You still didn't like the movie after all?
It was like a good movie, but like I'm gonna be honest with you. Like a lot of things, like movies seem so formulaic nowadays. Like it turns me off. Like there was just some parts that were like so typical or kind of cheesy that I was like, it totally took me out of it. You know, like,
yeah,
like,
yeah, I mean, it's a different, you know, like the first one came out and that's a totally different era of.
Right. You know, and like there was some part where like Chris Pratt is like, let's get something straight out there. I'm in charge. And like, that's been said in like every freaking movie where somebody's taken out of their element. And then like, you know, they have to rely on the roguish co-star to survive like that exact line. So like little things like take me out of it. Like, I mean, it's not a bad movie. It's just, I guess I'm like more anal than I have to be about that.
No, it's like, you know, the first one had, you know, like that thing, the pace of a movie could be so much slower even and kind of build the tension and everything. And nowadays I feel like the ADD generation is.
Oh yeah. You gotta jump right into it and it's gotta be more and bigger. I guess I felt it was just more and bigger of the same thing. Like, and I always say, the joke I always make is this whole movie is based on like evolution, but this movie doesn't evolve the franchise any. It's just a bigger version of the same thing, which was the bad dinosaur was just a bigger T-Rex who got beat by T-Rex.
Well, maybe Jurassic Universe, the next one, it will evolve it into what you're looking for.
Space? I want to see space pterodactyls. Space pterodactyls.
Space pterodactyls?
Because you said Jurassic Universe, so and you said it would evolve.
Space, space pterodactyls. That's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
See, I'd be scared to shit. Okay, so that is one thing I did like about Jurassic World. Like the pterodactyls were awesome
and vicious.
You like that scene?
They gave like no shit whatsoever. They were just like killing machines.
No, they caused some damage. They crashed that poor guy's helicopter. They killed that guy with the margaritas.
That was Jimmy Buffett.
It was Jimmy Buffett? I thought somebody told me that, but I didn't believe them.
Yeah, it was like a Jimmy, because he was at Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, which was one of the restaurants in the theme park.
Oh.
And he was having a margarita, and he got killed.
All right, I take it back. I take it back. Jurassic World's my favorite movie ever.
Park didn't have Jimmy Buffett in it with margaritas. I mean, come on.
That's a good point. I also retract everything bad I said about Jurassic World.
The fact that they killed Jimmy Buffett, it now makes it my favorite movie ever.
I'm awesome too, actually. I'm awesome doing that, you know? It's so funny that there's Jimmy Buffett, because I remember that part, and I remember being like, who the hell is that guy running away with the margaritas? That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
hilarious.
Michael, I've had an awesome time chatting with you, and you know, I'm totally gonna watch Circle, and I'm totally gonna try to hit you back up.
I'm gonna explain Circle to Brian when it's over.
Right, yeah, I'm gonna have Dave explain it to me, and then maybe we can have you back on, and I'm gonna be like, all right, where was the space pterodactyls and Circle?
Yeah, I can tell you. You might have some questions. There's like some mythology stuff and puzzle piece. How do I explain it? Like, yeah, puzzle.
Well, it just sounds better and better to me. Mythology and puzzles, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to like this then. I'm excited for you to watch it then.
I'm super excited to watch it. Hell yeah.
If you hate it, that's fine.
Is it
a podcast about hating it, maybe?
No.
We wouldn't do that.
We're not going to trash talk our guests. I mean...
Yeah. Yeah.
Like maybe do it a couple months after it comes out so everybody watches it first and then...
Right. And it comes out October, right?
Comes out in October. Oh, and I don't know about you, may or may not. I don't know if you guys are drinkers or anything, but I don't know if I should be, you know, touting this as much as I do, but it makes for a great drinking game because somebody dies every 2 minutes.
Ooh, deal.
That, like, what is it? Power hour?
Yeah! Yeah, the power hour?
Here every minute.
That's a thing of ours. That's something we're quite familiar with. Our band actually performed a live power hour on stage with a bar full of people.
Oh, wow. That's brave.
It was an absolute shit show. It was absolutely ridiculous.
All right, we're doing an hour of power. Maybe we'll even podcast this drinking game as we watch the movie.
Actually, maybe after the movie is released, Michael will come back on the show with us and we'll do the power hour to Circle.
I would. Happily.
Oh, my God. Okay, so it's a deal, man. That is totally going to happen.
I'm definitely in.
Hell yeah.
We do it. Like over Skype or something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll find a way.
We're more into Google Hangouts now after our last experience with Google Hangouts was pretty damn good.
Oh, I don't know how to do that, but I'll figure it out for you guys.
Yeah, we will definitely make that happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun to watch it in a group because there is definitely like a morbid sense of humor to some of it, if you have a morbid sense of humor. You know, and there's like so many different personalities and point of views in the movie that... If you're with a group of friends, you find, like, some people laughing at things, you're like, you find that funny? Really? So it kind of, like, shows you what your friends are really like when you watch Circle, I think.
As art is supposed to do. That's what art is supposed to do.
Art is supposed to do that. Damn it. And then I think you'll find Circle to be successful at that.
Awesome.
Absolutely. And Michael Nardelli, it's a date, and that's going to be like one of the best episodes of Nothing Important. I can feel it already. So,
I'm excited.
Before we let you go, we got to ask you, what's your favorite frozen pizza?
My favorite what? Frozen pizza?
Yeah.
I'm into Hawaiian lately.
Nice.
Ooh.
Did you mean like the brand, or did you mean like the type?
Either or, we just think it's a funny question to ask people.
I don't know why, but you know, growing up, what I always made was those Bogley pizzas. Do you remember those?
Oh man, is that where you buy Bogley. The crust, right? And then you got to put the ingredients on it.
Yeah, you buy that crust, and then yep. And people always said I always burnt it, and I think I did, but so much that I started to like the taste of the burnt version that the normal version didn't feel right to me anymore. So,
to each his own. I got a friend that throws in Jacks and doesn't pull it out till it's brown and black, and it's the grossest thing ever.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Do they even make Bobaldi anymore? I remember the commercials for some reason in my
power hour thing. We should hunt down some Bobaldis and crack them out too.
Oh my God, Michael, you are going to make like the best. That is the most like Dave and Brian episode that we're
yeah
will ever happen. That is like we are right
drinking
on the same
game,
page of that.
Pizza. Movies, yeah.
Murder, a best night of my life.
Yeah. Sounds like my prom night.
Awesome. Well, Michael Nardelli, you have Circle coming out in October. Thank you for coming on and chatting with us. And we are definitely going to do the drinking game to Circle when it comes out. It's going to be amazing.
Let me know. I'm in.
All right, cool. Thank you so much for coming on the Nothing Important Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun talking with you guys. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, have a great night.
Have a good one.
Be sure to follow Nothing Important online at nothingimportantpodcast.com. Find us on iTunes, on Twitter at NotImportantPC, and you can also find us on Facebook. Nothing Important is recorded with help from Third City Sound in Joliet, Illinois. Thanks for being awesome.